I know. Yep, I know. This is Dr. Herbert Barley, Dean of the University of Healing. The thought for today, I know. Yep, I know. We are so interested in the world about us and the things that are going on. We're so interested in our own personal lives. We're so interested in all the things that make life exciting and interesting. And in the process, we sometimes forget that still small voice within us that has the answer always and the perfect answer. Now, we call all these geniuses, these people who are talented in various areas to fix our plumbing, to fix our rain gutter, to fix our sewers, to fix our computers, to fix our world, and all these people went one place to get the information to know how to fix it. And they went within themselves. Now you say, No, they didn't. They went to school. They went here. They went there. Yeah, that's true. School merely awakened their awareness that they know those things. And so then they remembered it. But when they came to your house to fix your plumbing, they didn't bring their plumbing book along and say, let's see, now that's from page 47. And that's where sewer plumbing is with trees growing in, roots of the trees growing into it, and this is how you handle it. And you can route it out, or you can take the tree roots away, and you could do this or that. You see, they don't do that. They just listen within to that inner teacher, to that inner wisdom, that inner knowledge, and then they know what to do. Now, the smarter the person is, the smarter they listen. Now, we think, well, golly, they went to school. They went here and they went there. Well, let's look at another term. The school of hard knocks. You know what the school of hard knocks is? The school of hard knocks is where you're in a life situation and you have to figure out what's going wrong. And all the plumbing in the building is rattling and all things are going wrong. And you have never had that problem before. You've never known what to do. So you have to stop and think. You have to think, what sort of reason might bring that about? What sort of cause might bring that over? Is it this? Is it that? Is it the other thing? That's the school of hard knocks. You work from one possibility to another possibility to another possibility. And now, these hard knock mechanics, they try everything. And they imagine what it might be, and they imagine what it might be. But how many of them have gone over to their church and knelt down in the altar, at the altar, and said, God, show me the answer? How many of them have done that? Very few. It's some big problems they do that. I like to think our president does that now and then. But it's not a matter of kneeling before an outward altar. You kneel before an inward altar. You say, I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. Now, when we call forth our answers in that way, we get the answers. And they come. And really, surprisingly, we know. Sylvia is one of those crazy people. You go to Sylvia, you say, Sylvia, how do you do this? She says, I don't know. So she sits at her computer and she doesn't know. And then all of a sudden her fingers do something, guided by some outer force that's beyond her comprehension, and make her do the different things. And she says, wow, it works. And then we say, well, what did you do? I don't know. And so she says, I don't know. Because you see, that inner guidance was guiding her, and she wasn't paying attention. She was just hoping she was going to hit the right key, you know, like the school of hard knocks. And then when it works, we say, what did we do? Now, if it ever happens again, what do I do? What do I do, you know? And so you try to remember your mistake. Now, don't remember your mistake. Remember your solution. You see, the mistakes, those are things we remember very easily. You know? We very easily say, yeah, I goofed. Yeah, I made this mistake. Yeah, I did that. Well, what did you do to correct it? Oh, I don't know, but I corrected it, you know. If we would pay more attention to our solutions, then our solutions would pay more attention to us. They would come into our consciousness, they'd come into our awareness, they'd come into our life much more rapidly and much more quickly and much more easily. Now, you look at a man like Obama, and you think to yourself, here he is, a young 47-year-old man. I mean, he's not lived a lot of life, but a good life. And he's taking over as President of the United States. Now, he must be a diplomat. He must be a decision maker. He must be so many things. And he must gather about himself a cadre of excellent advisors, people who do the things he needs to have done. And he must live such an open life that no matter who's checking on him, and everybody will be, they won't find him doing any secret stuff. It's all out in the open. So there's no problem. And he's got to learn how to get along with the senators and the legislators and the congressmen. He's got to learn how to get along with the with the women of America and with the whites of America and the blacks of America and all the people of America. And so what does Obama do? He says, this job is too big for me alone. He said, I am going to listen to the divine within me and follow whatever guidance comes, and I'm going to have an easy job. Ha 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 ha. I'm going to have an easy job because I'm going to follow the divine guidance within me, which is what he's going to do anyhow. So, now he doesn't say that out loud, but that's what he does. And when he does that, great things happen. Now, if Sylvia can just accidentally come up with the right strokes to accomplish the solutions to the problems that she has, why can't Obama? You know?
He can,
and he does.
He can.
And he does. Now, what I'm trying to say here, and it's difficult to say, but if anyone were to look at what the president has to have in his consciousness at any one moment, you would be absolutely amazed. He has to remember names of his staff, alone, which is quite extensive. He has to remember all the congressmen, all the senators. He has to remember all the governors of all the United States, because they are part of his group. He has to remember all of the fundraisers who were so helpful in getting him elected. He has to remember all of the heads of state of all the various states in the world, and he has to know who their ambassador is, and he has to know who our ambassadors are who work with these people. He has to know about our government and our economy, and he has to know about how to deal with these people. He has to know how to deal with the prisons. He has to know how to deal with the churches. He has to know how to deal with everything. I mean, what a massive amount. And he does. Now, how does he do it? How does he know about all these things? We ask that question very simply. How does he know? Well, he doesn't. What he does, which gives him stability, which gives him sanity, it's a good word, he gives him sanity, is that he deals with every individual thing now. It is true he knows a great deal, but he has a group of people around him. I used to go to cocktail parties when I was in my newspaper work and in my real estate work, and I had to meet all these different people who were at the party, and I didn't know them. And so I'd take my wife along whenever possible, because she knew everybody and she remembered everything. And I'd say, who's that? You know, who's that? Tell me who these people are. And so then she'd tell me who these people are. Well, Obama certainly is going to have a group of people around him who are going to tell him, this is Senator so-and-so, and he voted on this here, and he's interested in that, and, you know, give a little bit of history of them. And on each person, and so as he confronts these persons, these people, and talks to these people, he's going to talk to them with a knowingness, with an awareness, with the ability to be meaningful to them and let them feel that he personally knows and cares about them. And that's a wonderful thing. Now, where is he getting this knowledge? He gets this knowledge from the divine within himself. He gets this knowledge from within himself. And this is what we each want to do. I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. Now, I've just created a little love going around here barking his head off, and he's interested in something that's going on the property that we can't see or hear, but he's got ears and eyes and nose that knows everything. Now, I would like to now invest a little love with another element of knowingness. He knows that whatever things are going on out there are of no concern to him. All he has to do is just live in his own perfect, wonderful world where he isn't concerned about any of these things that don't concern him. You know? Now, the president's got to concern himself with a lot of things that don't concern us. But he's got to be on top of everything. And when he is, fantastic. Now, you see, Kennedy was an amazing president, but he's an amazing president because he was the president who really was interested in the people. And Obama is going to be an amazing president because he, too, is a young married man with children, young children, and he is interested in their welfare and their future, and he's interested in all the things that could possibly be beneficial for his wife and his children and his family and his world. And it's a wonderful thing. So these are the things that make up our life. These are the things that make our life so fantastic and so joyous. Rex just came in here to announce that he's back in the house, and he's dancing around saying, "Don't forget about me. Don't forget about me. I'm part of the family too." And yes, Rex, you are part of the family. And he leaped up on the couch and he sat there with his head up in the air and said, "I'm part of the aristocratic side of this family." And we say, "Yes, Rex, we know that." But you see, when you're president and when you're in charge of your life, when you're number one, and you must admit Obama now is number one, when you're number one, you have a great responsibility to yourself, to your world, and to the opportunities that lie before you. So, Mr. Obama, go for it. We're with you. Mm-hmm. And would that we had that same charisma and capacity that you had. Oh, we do, don't we?
Yes.
We do. So let's begin to use it. Let's all be a fabulous, worthy, marvelous being, as we always were and always will be. So, with that, have a lovely day and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you.